Okay, I want to tell you a story about politics and begin by sharing this little moment caught on the periphery of a Tom Corbett appearance last month. Listen.
Are you doing this to intimidate people? Is that the purpose?
Sir, I do not have to explain myself to you.
You don't have to explain yourself, but you can understand why we wonder if you're trying to intimidate people with this camera.
Are you trying to intimidate me?
Now, what's happening here is that an official of the Corbett campaign is confronting a young man there with a video camera. He's from the Wolf team. In the campaign world, this guy's called a tracker. His job is to tape an opposing candidate's public events, hoping to catch the candidate looking stupid or saying something stupid. The most famous example, you might remember, is from a Virginia campaign.
So welcome. Let's give a welcome to Makaka here. Welcome to America and the real world.
Now, that's Senator George Allen taunting his tracker, the guy following him, who was Indian American. He called him Makaka, which was seen as a racial slur. There was a huge controversy, and Allen lost the election. Now, tracking is a pretty common practice today. But back in 2002, when I was covering Ed Rendell's campaign for governor, I met one of the earliest trackers, a young man named Phil Press, who was working for Rendell's opponent, Bob Casey. Phil followed Ed Rendell everywhere, keeping that camera relentlessly trained on his target. You know, I've remembered him all these years, and I caught up with Phil last week and asked him to reflect on the experience.
The goal of having a decent tracker is to obtain two things. One is to get up-to-the-minute reports of what the opposing campaign is doing through video and through just being able to relate what happened at an opponent's event. The second is to get enough video of gaffes or of unfavorable images of the opponent, so then that footage will then become fodder for negative ads. At first, no one really expected it. No one expected me to show up. I believe I started in Pittsburgh on a Tuesday morning. It was a Tuesday after Thanksgiving. And I remember driving from Harrisburg at like 2:30 in the morning.
Did Ed Rendell or his staff notice you or have any interaction with you first day?
Oh, right away. You know, even before the camera, there was an incident with the County Commissioners Association, and I didn't have a camera at that point. I had a tape recorder, and I plugged into the Molt box where the press would get their live feed. And I just sat in the back of the room, and it was a non-event. I mean, it was Rendell with a bunch of county commissioners from central Pennsylvania. The woman who was running the event saw me and saw that, you know, I was 40 years younger than anyone else in the room and was confused as to why I was there. I told her my name, which is Philip Press. I don't know where this got jumbled in sort of whisper down the lane function, but somehow that became into I'm a member of the Philly Press. And the Rendell campaign within 2 or 3 hours put out a release saying that I was posing as a reporter in order to gain entrance to an event, which was not the case. I mean, it was, you know, funny, and I was mortified at the time. But that sort of set the tone for what was to come. There was only one time someone physically accosted me.
What happened that time you were accosted?
It was a building trades member. He was very unhappy that I was at an event. It was at Philadelphia Park. And he grabs me by the throat. I'm about a foot taller than he is. And he takes my camera and he's threatening to smash it. And at that point, you know, there's 200 people in the room and one of me. And, you know, I kind of looking around to see where the exit is. And you just kind of you go with it the best you can. I mean, I guess I could have, you know, tried to punch him, but I knew that long term that wasn't the wisest plan. So you just try to get out of there. I'd say by like the first month, he worked me into his stump speech, and it became now comical. At the time, it was, you know, I was mortified, but I remember being in Johnstown and he asked for me to step out. He was in a room of maybe 50 people, and he said, "Hey, where's my boy Phil?" And, you know, I'm sheepishly in the back. I don't know if I should run or if I should kind of cower. And, "Yeah, Phil's a good-looking kid. And now, the sad thing is that he's the face of modern-day negative campaigning, and it's quite unfortunate that my opponent is sunk to this level. But, you know, Phil's a great guy and a good Democrat, but, you know, we need to fight hard to counteract what he's doing right now," and, you know, things like that. Yeah, I remember being at an event at University of Pittsburgh Johnstown campus, and I'm still trying to get a copy of this. But the next day, I was on the front page with the headline of Casey Spy. And there was a picture of me like slumped over. I was sitting in a desk at that point because it's a classroom. I just had my camera on the tripod, but looking, you know, completely just dazed. I mean, kind of like, I guess, what Bob Seger wrote when he was writing Turn the Page.
Buddy, your thoughts will soon be wandering the way they always do when you're riding 16 hours and there's nothing much to do. And you don't feel much like riding, you just wish the trip was through.
How did you feel? I mean, just how did it make you feel to kind of be alone in this atmosphere where you're a pariah?
At first, I cried a lot. I really thought I was working for the best person, and that got me through a lot. I was, you know, idealistic. It toughened me up. It toughened me up in a way that I really needed, if I could be honest with myself, but in a way that I would not have anticipated, you know, 6 months prior.
Did you get stuff that the campaign used?
Yes. There's one ad where I feel almost embarrassed repeating this stuff, but Mr. Rendell's hair was tasseled in one ad in a very uncomplimentary and unflattering way, and I believe the text of the ad was attacking his credibility.
But there was no macaca moment. There was no.
not that I recall. I mean, I think that was the hope, was that you would catch him stepping into something that, you know, was really unsavory. But he was really disciplined about it. There were times where he was really unhappy with me, and, you know, he'd mutter things under his breath once or twice about, you know, get the camera out of my face or whatever. But that was the hope, and ultimately it never came to pass.
Phil Press has worked in at least 15 campaigns. Today he's an attorney practicing in Narberth. I asked him if he ever misses the intensity of working on a political campaign. Oh, yeah, he said. Oh, yeah.